Vietnam is a sliver, a ribbon of a country on the South China Sea. It's bordered by China, Laos, and Cambodia. Until 1954, it was part of French Indochina. That's when Ho Chi Minh, the communist and nationalist leader, defeated the French and sent them packing back to France. Ho Chi Minh then looked to unify the country under his rule. A Geneva Convention agreement put a hold on that and split the country in two, similar to what had happened just a year earlier in Korea. The split was supposed to be temporary, but a planned election never happened. The North stayed communist, while the South, backed by the United States, wanted democracy. In the late 1950s, President Eisenhower started sending military advisors to help the South defend itself. President Kennedy continued to send in more troops, and by 1963, 16,000 American fighters were in South Vietnam. In early August 1964, two North Vietnamese attacks on U.S. ships in the Tonkin Gulf were reported. The second attack never happened, but President Johnson used the report to get broad military powers for himself to expand America's combat role in Vietnam. By the end of 1965, almost 200,000 American troops were in the South. By 1969, the total had jumped to 543,000. America's combat role lasted another 8 years. It was fought from the air and on the ground, often in deadly jungle fighting. More than 58,000 Americans were killed, more than 300,000 were wounded, not counting those who were mentally maimed. Of the total population of both Vietnams, 40 million people, estimates indicate as many as 1 million Vietnamese died, another 3 million Vietnamese were wounded. Low and slow, unprotected little airplanes did intelligence gathering and targeting over enemy territory, and attack helicopters took the fight to the Viet Cong. A pilot who flew both planes joins us now to reveal the challenges and the risks of his duty to our country.
Ladies and gentlemen, David Hartman.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thank you. Please welcome two Army aviators, Bill Reeder and Jack McCormick. Gentlemen. Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Just a quick background about Bill and Jack. 30 years active duty, Bill Reeder, 30 years active duty. He retired as a colonel. In 2014, he was inducted into the Army Aviation Hall of Fame. In 2007, he was the Army Aviator of the Year. His first tour was flying this airplane, the OV-1, over Laos, Cambodia, and North Vietnam. His second tour, he flew this airplane, was shot down, and after several months in captivity, wound up in the Hanoi Hilton, and in early 1973 was released along with his 579 other compadres who were POWs at the time. So that's a brief background, along with the 3,000 hours, the 1,000 in combat, highly decorated, two DFCs, Silver Star, Air Medal for Valor, three Purple Hearts, POW Medal. This is Colonel Bill Reeder.
Thank you.
Jack McCormick, Army Aviator, flew 1,204 combat hours. Earned the DFC, the Air Medal, with 42 oak leaf clusters, the Bronze Star, the Vietnamese Cross of Gallantry. This is Jack McCormick. Bill, I just mentioned you flew both these airplanes. What was it like when you walked out here this morning and stood between these two airplanes?
I'm glad that we did that earlier and I got that emotion out of my system, or it would be difficult to be talking right now. This was extraordinary. Probably, at least in my mind, the two finest aircraft that Army Aviation has ever had. And I had the opportunity, indeed the joy, to fly both during my career.
All right, your first tour flying, as I just mentioned, over Laos, Cambodia, North Vietnam. What were your missions? What were you doing to the extent that you can talk about any of it?
And during the Vietnam War, we had five Mohawk companies in Vietnam. One of each of the four companies was dedicated to a section of South Vietnam. The fifth company, and that was mine, was stationed at Wei Phu Bai, South Vietnam. But the only time we saw South Vietnam was for takeoffs and landings. All of our missions were out-of-country missions. We were tasked specially for special intelligence missions, the results of which went all the way to the National Command Authority. Our missions were all in Laos and off the coast of North Vietnam, with a few very special missions into Cambodia.
Now, were you weaponized at the time, or was this all purely intel?
We had three models of the Mohawk, A, B, and C. The C models were infrared, the B models were side-looking airborne radar, the A models were armed OV-1s. The reason for the armament was we did special daytime reconnaissance over the Ho Chi Minh Trail in Laos. It was a very high-threat environment with a lot of AAA. We lost a lot of aircraft. Those missions went out in teams of two, and those aircraft were armed principally for self-defense.
Now, your second tour, you were flying this airplane, yes? Cobra. What were your missions of the Cobra, what on a day-to-day basis?
Our unit, our Cobra unit, was a pure Cobra helicopter unit, 21 Cobras, 361st Aerial Weapons Company. The missions were in support of MACV SOG, which essentially stood for MACV Special Operations Group. It was actually the Studies and Observation Group. But we supported the insertion and extraction of small 2 to 3 U.S., 6 to 8 indigenous teams that did special reconnaissance over the border in along the Ho Chi Minh Trail and other special missions within within South Vietnam for reconnaissance, special reconnaissance, and some direct action missions.
May 9, 1972, big day for you.
Yes.
And your colleagues. What happened?
I had arrived in country on my second tour flying Cobras, and I guess just a very brief how did I get from that to that. It's because I love the guns, and you pointed out the armament, the gunship qualities of that. Between my Vietnam tours, when the Army sent me back to get a college degree, finish up my bachelor's degree, they had taken the guns off of the Mohawks. So I knew going back to Vietnam that I would not be flying armed Mohawks on my second tour. I asked the Army if I could please get a helicopter transition and Cobra qualification, which they granted me. So I went back enthusiastically flying Cobras so I could continue my gunship experience on my second tour.
Hearing you use the word enthusiastically, what was your attitude at the time? How old were you at the time about?
Going back on my second tour of duty, I was 25 years old. On my first tour of duty, I was 22 years old.
What was your attitude about going into combat in Vietnam?
I may be unique, but I'm not among the guys that I served with in both units. There was a lot of enthusiasm, but we were a type of young American youth at the time that were enthusiastic about life. And it's a little hard to recall now, but when we first entered the Vietnam War, it was a popular war that had a lot of support. So when I enlisted in the Army to serve, there was a lot of support of going in. So I entered service enthusiastically. I continued that enthusiasm throughout my service. I'm a pretty positive person by nature, though. And I love getting into the Mohawk. It, at the time, was the most advanced aircraft that the Army had. It was fully acrobatic, would do loops and rolls, and then to top it off, the frosting on the cake was it was armed with pod-mounted 50 caliber machine guns and 2.75 rockets. War is terrible, and there are a lot of moments of terror, and people were killed, and guys in my unit were lost, and sister units, but there's still that thrill of combat for a young man. And I enjoyed flying guns, and I was enthusiastic about getting into the Cobra and flying that mission on a second tour.
May 9, 72, what happened?
Okay, May 9, 1972, I was several months into my second tour of duty. When I arrived in South Vietnam, we all thought the war was over, and surprisingly today, we thought it was over and that we had won because the communist insurgency in the South had been fairly well defeated. But in the spring of 1972, the enemy launched an offensive with divisions out of North Vietnam attacking into South Vietnam. It became known as the Easter Offensive of 72. And things started falling apart quickly in the South, and the North Vietnamese began gaining territory. On the 9th of May, 1972, I was dispatched on a tactical emergency mission just after first light in the morning to go and support U.S. forces that were trying to withstand enemy tank and infantry attacks. There were the elements of over two North Vietnamese divisions involved in these attacks in the Central Highlands. And on this morning, one particular fire base, an old special forces camp at a place called Ben Het, was under attack by thousands of infantry, by many tanks. And they were in a bad way, and we got launched out to provide Cobra gunship support for them that morning. That mission, as it turned out, was the one I was shot down, evaded capture for 3 days, captured, and then spent nearly a year, 11 months in captivity as a prisoner of war.
So that was your third mission that day when you got shot down. When you spiraled down, how badly were you injured, and what about your crewmate?
Yeah, the aircraft took hits from multiple anti-aircraft positions, and we were right on the deck, right on the treetops, covering a Huey that was trying to get some resupply of anti-tank ammo and other ammo to these guys on the ground that we had been providing gun support for that morning. Yeah, third mission was right. Very intense. A lot of anti-aircraft. 23 millimeter, 37 millimeter, 50 caliber, 51 caliber anti-aircraft machine guns. So the fire was intense. As we went in there, the aircraft, as I said, was hit from multiple anti-aircraft positions and shot out the tail rotor, rounds to the engine, rounds to the cockpit. So the aircraft was out of control, spinning and burning, and hit the ground with a